Welcome to the Standard of Truth podcast. In this podcast, Dr. Garrett Dirkmott and Professor Richard LeDuc explore the early history of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the life and teachings of Prophet Joseph Smith. They examine the original historical sources and provide context for events of the past. They approach the history of the Church with faith, expertise, and humor.
Hi, welcome to a special bonus edition of the Standard of Truth podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Garrett Dirkmott, and I'm joined by my friend, Professor Richard LeDuc.
Well, hello, Garrett. What's the reason for this bonus episode?
Well, you know, sometimes you want to just grab the microphone and say, you know, you just want to say, you know what? I love everybody.
We do love everybody.
This is a good Sabbath day, and I just figure we put it out there. Actually, I wanted to share a letter from Joseph Smith that he wrote to a branch of the church in New York in 1833. And the reason why this letter came to my mind is we just had an awesome general conference last week. We've already talked about that a little bit. We already even kind of did a bonus talking about
that. We loved it that much.
Yeah, exactly. It shows our excitement, doesn't it? That we just can't stop talking about it. But if you're like me, and hopefully you aren't, but you have
oh my goodness, we hope with everything inside of us.
Every one of us is hoping without hope. But it's kind of like Mormon praying for the armies of the Nephites, right? I prayed, but it was without hope because I already knew. You probably have some friends online, hopefully, rather than ones that you are in regular contact with, who instead of hearing a beautiful general conference, you know, they tell you everything that they thought was wrong with it. And as they explain it to you, you're like, I'm pretty sure we didn't listen to the same talk.
That happened to me several times where people are like, can you believe this or believe this? And I'm like, I heard that. I didn't hear any of the things you were talking about.
One that's acceptable is, can you believe Spanish Fork didn't get a temple? And then I was like, you know what? I'm with you. But, you know, Richard doesn't have that because he's got temples surrounding him now. They put one on either side of his house, basically.
Yeah, we were confused today in ward council if we were going to be in the Syracuse or the Layton temple boundaries.
What's the travel difference between the two?
Well, it's almost equidistant. With the new northern corridor here, you just hop on that and you're right there at the Spanish Fork Temple. So distance, it's a little bit further, but time, it's about the same.
But you didn't tell us what that amount of time was. I feel like you're deliberately withholding that after riding 8 hours on a bus to a Peruvian temple.
Well, it's about 5 minutes, and we're blessed.
It's 5 minutes?
Well, I mean, seven if you don't hit the lights.
Right. Well, you know, so you're trying to make the 7 o'clock temple session. You have to leave your house by 6:53?
Well, that's if you're totally ready and dressed. I mean, my goodness.
So 6:49.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so this happens every general conference, and that no matter what is said in conference, there are those who disagree with it. There are those who think that more should have been said about X. There are those who think that less should have been said about Y. And they readily take to the internet to let everyone know what they think about what the prophets, apostles, and general leaders of the organizations have said. And this letter popped up into my mind because from the beginning of the church, it required of its members to believe and to submit their will to prophetic authority. And I realize that's really hard. A lot of us have that ingrained rebellious streak, right? Where we're like, no one's going to tell me what to do. But it's been that way from the beginning. And I know I've talked about this topic before, so it won't be a surprise, although it is a surprise to Richard. I didn't tell him what I was going to talk about. I said, hey, Richard, we're doing a bonus episode. And he's like, but I don't want to do a bonus episode. And I just shoved him into the, I shoved him into the studio. And I said, you're going to do a bonus episode, whether you like it or not, but I don't even talk. And, no, you're doing it. And so that's why he's here.
Yeah. That's why I'm here. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I drove 3 hours to be here.
Not everything Richard says is truthful. Although his commute to the temple is.
That is very true.
That is. Well, so in the months following the circulation of perhaps Joseph Smith's greatest revelation, certainly his greatest revelation up to that point of what is what we today call Doctrine and Covenants Section 76, but in Joseph's day was just called the vision. I've said before, when we talked about the first vision and the vision, that if you read anything from the 19th century and it's talking about Joseph's vision, it's never talking about the first vision. It's talking about where he sees the degrees of glory and he sees the Lord and has this powerful visionary experience in Hiram, Ohio. And he and Sidney Rigdon see this vision collectively. But it is so radical, it is so opposite of what every other person, not just in the church, but in Christianity believes, that some people just can't accept it. They can't accept it because, as Brigham Young said, it came in contact with our own prejudices. Now, we use the term prejudice today to always mean, you know, someone's a bigot of some kind. They're using it the way it originally meant, in the sense that you've already decided you know something. You've prejudged it. And so when the revelation comes, well, that can't be true because I've always believed something different. Anyway, the reason why they write this letter is there's a member of a branch in New York who absolutely refuses to accept that Joseph's vision is from God. And he actually tries multiple ways to denigrate Doctrine and Covenants Section 76 so that he doesn't have to follow it. This is what Joseph's letter says. We've been informed that two brethren who visited you previously, having authority from us to teach you the doctrine of this church and to expound the revelations to your understanding, that they learned that Brother Ezra Landon did not believe all of the vision given to us, and all of the revelations which had been delivered to this church by inspiration by the appointment of heaven. Our brother Orson Pratt, while reading the vision to a certain brother while in Brother Landon's house, was threatened with being turned out of the door except he should desist. So this is not just a passive, I don't know how I feel about those terrestrial kingdom requirements. It is a, if you're going to read that blasphemy, get out of my house. So Orson Pratt, he's not yet a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles because there's not yet a Quorum of the 12 Apostles, but he's still one of the earliest converts to the church, and he's one of the well-known preachers of the faith. Pratt's trying to read the vision, and the people hearing it are so upset because they can't handle the doctrine that they threaten to physically remove him from the house and throw him out. All Orson Pratt is doing is reading to them literally the revelation that Joseph Smith received. So think about that for a minute. Some people heard the vision. Wilford Woodruff, when he talks about when he heard the vision, to him, that was the converting factor. He said, I did not care when I met Joseph Smith, whether he was tall or short, whether he had long or short hair, BYU honor code or not, right? The man that received that revelation is a prophet of God. I knew it for myself. So for Wilford Woodruff, the vision was so beautiful that it was the reason why Joseph was the prophet. Brigham Young, also a believer, has the exact opposite reaction. He hears the vision and says, there's no possible way that's true. If that's true, then my parents were wrong. My pastors were wrong. The Bible is wrong. Every single Christian on earth is wrong. And again, this is all circulating the fact that the vision taught that eternal hell didn't exist. And if eternal hell doesn't exist, then every single Christian who believes that when you go to hell, you are there not just billions and trillions of years, but for eternity, then they're all wrong. And Brigham had to wrestle with it and struggle with it. And as he said, I didn't reject it, but I could not understand it. So I love Brigham's reaction, right? Not everyone has a Wilford Woodruff reaction where, you know what? I know that's true immediately. Brigham heard it and said, do you realize the implications? You're saying that literally every other Christian on earth is wrong about hell. And he wrestled with it. He didn't come to terms with it immediately. He had to pray, but he had to trust that he would eventually receive that understanding. This gentleman here who's threatening to toss Orson Pratt out on his ear for just repeating. It's not Orson Pratt making up the revelation. He's just saying what it is that God taught Joseph. But it's so radical, he can't handle it. I wish it had a better ending, but I'll keep reading. They call for a council of high priests to labor with Brother L, who, when being on the point of being cut off from the church, said that he believed the vision and that he would teach it to the church. Okay, so he seems like he reconciled. But on the return of the said brethren to the Isisfall, they learned that Brother L did not teach it, neither did he believe in the vision. We've also learned from our other brethren that he doesn't walk worthy in his high calling before the Lord, and without speedy repentance and deep humility, he will have his office and his membership in this church taken from him. We want you to understand, dear brethren, that the conduct of our brother L has greatly grieved us and this church. We want you to understand that we hold no communion, nor have no fellowship for those who do not believe the Book of Mormon and the revelations which God has given us in the last days. We are informed that Brother L endeavors to excuse himself for not believing the vision, saying, that is not a revelation, but a vision. We want you to understand from us that we pronounce such things the works of the devil and are calculated to ensnare the souls of saints. We plainly declare, and as men that expect to and must be judged by the searcher of all hearts, that those who do not believe all the revelations and visions given to this church, that do not believe the Book of Mormon, consequently have no fellowship with us. We write plainly, for we are bound to do so, and we hope that what we may write may be heeded, for we write in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by virtue of our calling in his holy church. Now you can see that I see this happen all the time when our current prophets and apostles teach something, and whatever it is, it's going to come in contact with someone else's viewpoint. I mean, for as many people as loved Elder Kieran's talk on God building a highway rather than the smirking guy closing the road off, you know, God's desperately seeking after you. For as many people as who loved that sermon, I also saw people critical of it, saying, well, you know, all that's going to do is make people complacent and feel like that they can do whatever they want and they're still going to heaven. Right? For as many people as who loved President Nelson and President Oak's discussion about temple covenants and how essential they are and the keys of the priesthood, there are many people who said things like, well, you know, focusing on the temple is just going to make people feel bad if they can't go. But that's part of what President Nelson's message was. The church exists to exalt the saints. And the way exaltation comes isn't however we decide it comes. President Nelson didn't decide how it is people achieve exaltation, any more than Joseph Smith decided that eternal hellfire didn't exist. That wasn't what he decided. It's what is. And so you notice this poor brother who was a believer other than this. And so probably people listening right now are like, well, I mean, don't you think that's a little harsh? I mean, just the fact that he said that that wasn't really a revelation and he said that wasn't true. I mean, should he really lose his membership? Well, here's the problem. He's going around and telling other people in the church that the vision isn't really from God, that it's not really a revelation, but it is. And so the problem you have is you have a member of the church who's using their status as a member to say, hey, you need to listen to me. I know that that radical doctrine that you're having a hard time accepting isn't really from God because it's not what we want to believe. It's not what anyone else believes. And you see that a lot. How different a response did this brother have than Brigham Young? Brigham Young is slapped in the face by the vision. He is slapped in the face by it. It upsets his entire religious worldview. Every single Christian says hell is forever. Joseph Smith is saying it isn't at all. That all suffering is temporary. And Brigham had to make a decision. Do I start telling people that Joseph's a false prophet because what he's saying is not what I believe? Or do I desperately pray and wrestle with God until I can have the Holy Spirit help me understand that the revelation's from God? Brother Landon, who is mentioned in this letter, he didn't do that. Brigham said, I didn't reject it, but I couldn't understand it. There are all kinds of teachings that the church gives that are hard to understand. There's a very, very, very big difference between saying in your mind, boy, I'm not sure how that's going to work out. I hope that works out the right way. Or I don't understand how this can be true and this can be true. There's a very big difference between having that conversation in your mind and in your thoughts and actively teaching people that the church is wrong about the revelations that it's teaching or the doctrines that it's teaching. The one is an introspection. The one is, God, help me come to know. The other is a declaration. I already know. I already know that the vision can't be from God. Well, how in the world could you already know that? No one even knew about it till last week. I know it because I don't want to believe it. Well, as I've said many, many times on this podcast, the fact that you don't already know or believe something that a prophet teaches is not evidence that it's false. The entire point of having a prophet is to teach you things that you would not otherwise believe, except that it comes from a prophet. And so because it comes from a prophet, you believe it. I've had to put my faith and my trust in prophets of God multiple times. And as I've said before, I know that a lot of people say things like, well, you know, I just don't think the prophets understand X, or they don't understand Y, or if only they've done this, or if they've only done that. You're preaching to the choir if you say that. I have spent my life studying and reading church history. I could find an exception to literally anything that current prophets and apostles teach, and I could herald it and beat my hands on the table and say, well, you know, in 1834, this is what they said in the school of the prophets. But we believe in continuing revelation. So hopefully all of us, if there were things that our friends told us we should take worse than we did, or if there are things that really did strike at us, hopefully we can adopt that idea of, I didn't reject it, but I couldn't understand it. I'm going to teach it. I'm going to support it because I know it's coming from God's prophets. And hopefully the understanding will come. that vision that Joseph had there in Hiram is actually the other thing that I wanted to talk about. We're going on the tour to Kirtland, and well, we're going to Palmyra and Kirtland.
Yeah.
And one of the places we go is the John Johnson farm, where Joseph received that highly controversial, incredibly beautiful vision. We get to go to the room where Joseph had the vision. And I got to tell you, it is a holy place. At least when I'm there, I feel the spirit of the fact that Joseph Smith saw God and Jesus in that room, saw the celestial, terrestrial, and telestial kingdoms, saw it or darkness, although I don't think that made it very holy. But it's a powerful experience. And the other purpose of this bonus was to say that I know that not everybody has the ability to go on a church history tour. You know, some of us are barely making ends meet, and it's you know, that's a, like a lifetime goal. Like, you know, maybe 10 years from now I can save up enough to for a premium subscription, but I certainly can't go on a church history tour. Well, we have a very generous and gracious anonymous donor who contacted Richard and I today to say that he would like to help some people go on the tour who wouldn't otherwise be able to go. Don't worry. It's not like millions of dollars. It is thousands though. And so I don't really know the best way to do this.
Yeah, we've talked about this a little bit, and the idea is that, I mean, the reality is that they'd still need to pay for their airfare, and they'd still need to pay for some of the meals, but all of the transportation, about half of the meals, and all of the lodging would be covered, as well as all of Garrett's conversations and words. Okay. Most of those would be covered.
Well, that, I mean, you know, no, I put a hand out every time I like, hey, what can you teach us about this? And I just put a hand out, and then I just wait.
Yeah.
And as you know, what I really should do is pass a basket around.
You should. It works for the Catholics.
Well, can we get a basket on a pole for the trip?
We should.
And then every like, time I no teach, people. Every time I teach something on the bus, I want you to just pass it around.
Yeah, that sounds.
Okay, good. We don't do that. That was a joke, just so everyone's aware. Yes.
So it covers the vast majority of it, but you still would have to pay for airfare and for some, about right. half of the food or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, sure. So because everyone's responsible to get to where the tour starts, and that's different for everybody. I mean, we have people flying in from Arizona and people flying in from Ohio, which is funny that they have to go from Ohio to Baltimore to start the tour, but that happens. The tour dates, if you're wondering, they are June 3rd through June 10th. This is a tour that starts in Palmyra, and then we take it all the way up to Kirtland, Ohio.
Well, it starts in Baltimore.
I said Baltimore, didn't I?
No, you said Palmyra.
Starts in Baltimore, goes to Palmyra.
Yeah.
But you fly home from Cleveland. So, you know, if you're so destitute that you're having a hard time putting food on the table this week, this probably still isn't for you.
Yeah, we highly recommend you don't.
Yeah, because you're going to need to buy some of your own meals. Obviously, you probably have to buy one or two meals a day on the tour, right? And you know, you'll have different options or choices. And then, of course, you got to get yourself to Baltimore and then home from Cleveland to wherever you live. So we didn't really know the best way to let people know about this generous offer, and it you know, it's obviously not for you know, not for dozens of people, roughly, you know, five or six people. So if you and your spouse, you don't have to have a spouse, but if you know, maybe
you can take a sibling, yeah, you can take
something
a,
like
a
that.
Child,
you yeah, can, that if you and someone you know.
Yeah, friend, whatever.
If this is something that would ordinarily be just completely out of your ability, you know, you're trying to make ends meet, and you just don't have the time to be able to take this tour. Feel free to contact us at questions@standardoftruth.com, and you can nominate other people. Now, of course, one of the problems is we can't move the tour for you. So if like, oh, I would go, except that I've got a wedding on June 5th, there's nothing we can do about that, right? So the first requirement is you have to actually be able to go. So that's kind of a deal breaker if you can't.
Yeah. So, and it's for this year specifically. So if it's like, hey, 2027, I'm down.
I don't know that our donor will be donating again. This yes, was a one time.
It was very
shot.
Nice. We have had some cancellations. We had a couple cancellations on the Nauvoo tour. So we actually do have two spots available on the Nauvoo tour. And then we have six additional spots available on the Kirtland tour, plus, you know, four to six of these that are sponsored, which again, it is very incredibly nice offer.
So obviously we don't have a ton of time before the tour happens. It's a couple of months. And so we're going to have to make a decision relatively quickly on who we give the scholarship to. What are we going to call it? I mean, the donor who I know.
The Richard LeDuc scholarship.
I feel like that would be dishonest.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not contributing, but you
know. We'll just name it after you anyway. Yeah,
so, come on, give me something.
You know, this is the second time that we've had a different.
Oh, the Dirk Moss. What we should call it the Dirk Moss.
The Dirk Moss Church History Scholarship.
That. Yeah.
Well, so if you know somebody who could go, and again, look, if you know somebody who's currently on church welfare, then this isn't for them. Okay. I mean, but there's lots of people who. You know, they're doing fine. Like they're able to put food on the table. They're able to make ends meet.
Yeah, but these things are expensive.
But they don't have $3,000 $4,000 to drop on a church history trip. Although they've always wanted to. So if you want, you can email us and either recommend yourself and another person, or you can recommend other people that you know. Again, they'd have to be able to go, which is and. This was pretty unexpected. So obviously we didn't take a lot of time trying to figure out how this would work
out.
We're
nailing this. We're crushing this.
I feel like everything that we do is terrible.
No. We're this home run on this.
The tours are amazing. All of the podcasts aren't.
Well, the live event was amazing.
Well, at least according to some people. Other people, maybe some of the participants of the live event, maybe the person speaking at it, wasn't as comfortable with it. But so anyway, email us if you know somebody, or look, if you're somebody who's always wanted to go and you plan to go, but it's just like, you know what? We had this come up and we can't afford it. You can send it to us. And the sooner the better, because we are going to have to make a decision pretty quickly. The hotels actually get pretty tight. With us very quickly.
Yeah, we are finalizing all of the details, getting all the food.
And they want room numbers and names with rooms, and then they send people to your house with baseball bats if you don't give them
That's just in Baltimore.
Only in Baltimore. So it actually has nothing to do with the hotel rooms. They just come with baseball
Baltimore
bats?
Baltimore and Scranton, they're pretty heavy-handed.
Oh, Scranton. I mean, if you don't work at a paper company there, you're in a lot of trouble. Or, you could also become president of the United States.
That's true.
There's the two options if you're from Scranton. So anyway, email the podcast at questions@standardoftruthpodcast.com. And of course, since it is a scholarship application, it's not there's no way to guarantee. Obviously, I'm assuming we'll have many more people request to be that spot than we'll be able to select. So tell us, the reason why and frankly, we may end up just putting names into a hat and pulling them out because we will feel too guilty doing it otherwise. But regardless, very grateful for this person who made this available. And since we've had some cancellations, we have a little bit of space there. We have the ability to do it, and we're really, really grateful for that. So thanks so much. Hopefully you enjoyed our bonus episode, and hopefully you know someone who could benefit from this.
Thank you for listening to the Standard of Truth podcast, hosted by historian Dr. Garrett Dirkmott. If you know anybody that could benefit from the material in this episode, please share it with them. And for more resources, visit standardoftruth.com. Until next time.